So I'm going to be talking about intelligences and religiosity, and a project where we're going to be looking at intelligences a bit more broadly. What am I doing? Doesn't seem to like that. Did I break something? There we go. Okay, well, maybe we'll just have to work off of this then. So I'm going to be presenting this morning two studies. The first one looking at emotional intelligence with respect to perspective taking. So again, a bit of semantics that we've been working with a bit during this conference is theory of mind versus perspective taking. Again, your perspective on how you look at that. Looking at this as a cross-sectional study across adulthood, looking at how religious experiences as well as executive functioning, which would be the more sort of general intelligence, would factor in, as well as then age and personality. And then my second study is to sort of maybe fine-tune, so to speak, the microscope and look again at this perspective taking in general intelligence, but in a more controlled environment and looking at the influences of religiosity. So basically when I'm talking about perspective taking, we've seen a link between emotional intelligence and perspective taking. Previous research has also shown that there's this association between emotional intelligence and empathy. But we also see with respect to perspective taking that there are some declines that happen throughout development. So older adults are not quite as able to take the perspective of other individuals as well as younger individuals. We've already talked about the fact that children need to learn that. So we sort of see a little bit of a U-shaped curve there. But some studies have, on the other side, though, said that actually perhaps theory of mind does improve with age. And so looking at perspective taking and the influence then of religiosity, previous research has shown that there is perspective taking now, again, semantically, looking at it again a little bit more broadly with respect to empathy, that there have been relationships shown there. More religious adolescents demonstrate more empathy, which I think most of us would agree is a very good thing. And then because I am looking at sort of this age-related issues with respect to perspective taking and religiosity, we know that spirituality and religiosity do increase during later adulthood. So my research questions are people who score higher on religiosity and spirituality scales better able to take the perspective of others? So thinking a little bit about sort of that biblical mandate, you know, what should we, you know, do unto others as we would have them do unto us sort of thing. The religiosity and spirituality, can that be protective? If people are able to do that better, could that be protective against age-related declines in perspective taking? So the religiosity measures that I used, one was the Durell, the Duke Religiosity Scale. And basically, you can see some of the prompts up there. But basically, what it's looking at is it's sort of a combination of all parts, intrinsic and extrinsic, and sort of combining them into two items to be able to get this much shorter scale. And then the spiritual well-being is again looking a little bit and being a bit more self-focused in that, but how am I feeling with respect to my spirituality and my relationship with God? And then I sort of included this other additional measure is the golden rule. And do you know what the golden rule is? And write down the golden rule. And then my research assistants would then, after it appears that people had written something, they would actually state what it was and then ask them, how much do you live your life by the golden rule? And this is obviously very cute, Berenstain Bears, but the golden rule or some variant of it are found in many different religions. And so it's not just in Christianity. Thank you. And so one of the things was I was wanting to find out, is this actually a religious sort of injunctive, or is this actually a perspective taking? And so what I did was I looked at, there's a prompt with the Durell, meaning how much do you agree or disagree with this statement? I tried to carry over my religion into other parts of my life, and I did not find a relationship between that particular prompt and their scores on the golden rule question. So it seems like it's not so much religion as maybe a bit of a perspective taking. So again, just to sort of go through rather quickly with the different scales, we got fairly decent reliability, that golden rule, even though the reliability on that particular scale was 0.61, that's actually not out of the ballpark with respect to a novel measure, so we feel pretty comfortable with that. So our perspective-taking tasks, we actually have a few of them. The first one is the eyes task put forth by Simon Baron Cohen a lot with his work on autism, which we again discussed a little bit last night, that individuals who suffer from autism are not able to take the perspective of others quite as well. Do we want to have people say which emotion is being expressed here? Panicked. Yes, exactly. This person is panicked. Good job. Okay, another one also with respect to Simon Baron Cohen is what's called these faux pas tasks. So individuals were read and could follow along little paragraphs. So this one is an example. Jill had just moved into her new apartment. Jill went shopping and bought some new curtains for her bedroom. When she had just finished decorating the apartment, her best friend Lisa came over. Jill gave her a tour of the apartment and asked, "How do you like my bedroom? Those curtains are horrible," Lisa said. "I hope you're going to get some new ones." And then the question is, did somebody say something that they shouldn't have said? Okay, so this is obviously a faux pas, right? We should not have said that. And there were control tasks as well. And then the last measure was actually a novel measure that I wanted to take and sort of grew out of the fact that oftentimes when you're showing somebody something and sort of demonstrating to them what it is, sometimes you don't turn it for them to see it from their perspective. And this sort of related to my mother-in-law who has, sorry, I'm dissing my mother-in-law. She has a hard time taking the perspective of other people. She really does. And I'm not just saying that because she's a mother-in-law. So she'll have a picture and she'll show me, you know, "We went to, you know, Hungary and we just saw this cathedral. And so I'm standing here and she's standing here and she does not turn the picture for me to see the cathedral. I kind of have to do one of these numbers." And so this was an object rotation. We had a couple pictures that were presented to the individual from their perspective. We asked them what they could see. They should say a hand and a lion. And then the experimenter would say, "Oh, I could see that it's a hand. I can't see the lion. Can you point it out to me?" And so we asked then people to see how much did they rotate and show it from their perspective, or did they keep it at their own perspective? So we had a scale to measure that as well. And then we used Giuseppe's, those traditional like fruit and faces and things like that as well. We also wanted to have a couple cognitive control tasks with respect to that object rotation, because that is a bit of a visual spatial sort of activity. We gave them the bottles task, bottles at various and assorted angles. Did they realize that to show the water level that this is the correct one? Okay, just in case you were wondering, I know you were so confused on that, but trust me, we have seen those are quite typical ways of responding. And then a measure of executive functioning, the digit symbol task, how quickly they've got 90 seconds, they've got a row of numbers, and they need to put in those symbols underneath, and how quickly can they do that. So just a little bit about our participants. We, of course, had a nice emerging adult population. We both used half of those students came from Calvin College. The other half of the students came from the local community college because we wanted to have some non-religious folks as well. The middle-aged adults, again, half from the campus at Calvin College, faculty or staff, mostly staff, and then the other half were from staff from the community college as well. And then older adults came from a retirement community that was a public housing retirement community. So you can see again their the distribution and their scores on there, and again we see obvious differences with the Durrell, with well-being, and with the total perspective taking score as well. So when we look at just strict correlations, we can see with respect to the religiosity measures, as one would expect, overall the golden rule actually did correlate with the Durrell. Spiritual well-being highly correlated, openness not quite so much. Again, age, as we would expect, spiritual well-being with the golden rule, and openness, again, the negative perspective. And so we, with the total perspective taking, we sort of looked at the individual items, but then I did make a Z-score and made a composite variable as well of those three particular aspects of that. And so then what I did was a hierarchical multiple regression analysis looking at perspective taking, step one, including the controls of age, gender, and then those intelligences included in that. The second one looking at personality, and then the final measure was adding the spiritual well-being in there. And so you can see that we got pretty good ability to sort of predict based on those sort of final measures. So this sort of study ended up with the perspective taking. The biggest predictors were female. The female gender was a bigger predictor. Laird is saying, yes, I can get that. Golden rule, spiritual well-being was in a negative direction, and openness was another one with respect to perspective taking. So basically, our conclusions then is that increased religiosity really didn't protect against declines in perspective taking, so that wasn't a protective measure, which is would have been nice, but we unfortunately did not find that. The golden rules correlated a little bit better as a perspective taking task rather than a religious task. And then again, females, golden rule, openness, positively correlated, spiritual well-being, negatively correlated. And when I presented this to the group the last time that we had met, it was brought to our attention that perhaps because the spiritual well-being is so focused on myself and my relationship with God, that it's a little bit more self-focused than other-focused, and that's probably why we see that negative direction there. So again, individuals who are more religious are actually not really much better able to take the perspective of others, which again was a little bit sad to find that, but that's what we ended up with. But then I wanted to sort of refine this a little bit and look a little bit more clearly and see if we could control things. So in study two, it was sort of, in addition to wanting to control things a little bit, there was an article that came out about the same time that sort of got my gander up a little bit. Bright minds and dark attitudes, lower cognitive ability predicts greater prejudice through right-wing ideology. And I thought, well, this is not helpful. And so I wanted to see then, could I design the study with a little bit more of this in effect. So basically what I decided then to do with my researcher's question is, what if we did this perspective taking task at a religiously affiliated college, so again, Calvin College, then we controlled for age, we controlled for education, we controlled for sort of a baseline religiosity. Calvin College, you do not have to be Christian in order to attend, but we obviously do have a significant proportion. And so then, would we also find no relationship between religiosity and perspective taking? But also I wanted to include some measures of religious prejudice. So my additional measures were looking at religious emphasis in upbringing, because obviously that's important as we've got emerging adults. How did their upbringing, that's so very close to their time period in college. And then my sort of prejudice scales that also have religiosity components to them was fundamentalism, right-wing authoritarianism, and then I also wanted to look at questing, and did that have an effect as well. So these were the tasks, and this was sort of basically the order that we presented them. So again, we included the golden rule and the eyes task and the personality, the Durrell, our intelligence tasks that we used in this respect, because we knew that we sort of already had a high level of intelligence, so we wanted to use a more sensitive measure, and this would be Raven's progressive matrices. So you can see an example of that task that people were to complete: religious emphasis, fundamentalism, right-wing authoritarianism, and questing. And the reason why we had them in this particular order is that we knew we were working at a Christian college, and so we knew there would be some social desirability with how they responded, and that they would, okay, I need to answer in a Christian way because I'm at a Christian college. And so we wanted to put a cognitive load on them, because usually if you're kind of loaded, you're just like, I can't handle this, and they answer what really is in their heart more than what they think you want to give them. And so that's why this Raven's matrices is actually a 20 minutes of doing these sorts of things. So we've kind of loaded them pretty cognitively, and then we asked them to answer these sorts of questions. So we feel that they were relatively truthful in their responses. Again, just a little bit about the participants that we had in that. Again, you can see the correlations. We did not see any correlations with the intelligence. So that, I thought, in and of itself was quite interesting, because, again, we have a little bit of a spread. But with the perspective taking, it's looking like the right-wing authoritarianism is sort of jumping out a bit more significantly. A lot of stuff on my regression here. Sorry, this ended up being a really big table here, but I sort of entered them all in and steps, looking again a bit more at controls in step one, step two, adding the personality elements, and then in step three, adding in the more religious elements. So let me just give you the slide where things conclude so it's a little bit cleaner. After we controlled for age, education, religiosity, again, perspective taking was again predicted by the female gender and negatively predicted by right-wing authoritarianism. That's where that sort of popped out. Again, there was a relationship between emotional intelligence and prejudice, but not necessarily the general intelligence. And then with respect to religiosity, the emphasis with their upbringing positively related to the religiosity fundamentalism, right-wing authoritarianism, as well as extroversion personality traits, but negatively related to questing, as one might imagine. And then, again, one might also imagine the Duke religiosity scale, positive related to religious emphasis, right-wing authoritarianism, fundamentalism, extroversion, but negatively related to questing with respect to all of that. And these are the students that helped with my research. So, thank you.
Good. Yeah. Questions?
I have a couple of questions of clarification before I actually get to the
question. Before you actually get to the real question.
Yeah,
okay.
Just to make sure I'm
understanding. Yep.
So when you asked them about the golden rule, it looked like you said, do you know what it is? And then mm-hmm. you practice it. If they didn't know it, did you first tell them what it was?
Right, that's what we did. We first asked them, then we gave them a chance to write it because we actually wanted to know, did they actually know it? And so then the researcher would wait a little bit to wait till they had finished writing, and then they would say it. Okay, the experimenter would actually say it. I know you've just written the golden rule, but here's what it is. Now tell me how much you live your life by it.
Okay. And then for the rotation, uh-huh. it said you told them that I can't really see it and then had them turn it. Mm-hmm. Did you score whether people originally turned it for you or you always asked them to turn it for you?
Well, first they were presented and they were told, and again, we're sitting across the table, so we just hand you this picture. And you say to them, what do you see? And they should have said a hand and a lion. And then the experimenter would say, oh, I can't see the lion. Can you show it to me? So that was the impetus to have them turn and get at their perspective.
So I'm wondering if that is potentially part of a problem with your measure on that, because that would really show a person's sort of self-generated response to show it to you and turn mm-hmm. to take your perspective. You've actually asked them to do it, and you're just measuring the level of rotation. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if the operational definition of perspective taking maybe needs to be really hammered in, because point of view is being used literally and figuratively. Mm-hmm. So you're asking, like, can another person take a person's point of view? But mm-hmm. what I think you're wanting to know is, can they empathize with them? Mm-hmm. And even in that question, the little scenario with, did that person do something wrong? Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how it would have changed if you asked about the perspective of the person whose feelings were being hurt. Like, how did the person who was just criticized feel or something?
Well, actually, those are some of the questions as well.
Okay.
According to Simon Baron Cohen, I basically got all his tasks that he's used. And there's a whole series of questions. So the first one is, did something say something wrong that they shouldn't? And there are some questions. How do you think Lisa feels? How do you think Sarah feels? So there are some of those responses in there as well.
So I'm just wondering if maybe you're not finding that correlation, maybe because it's not exactly tapping into your measures aren't maybe...
Tapping, you think tapping in more into...
Maybe what you're...
What I think that we're looking at? Okay.
Like the construct isn't being operationally defined.
Okay. Yeah, it is. No, I know, and it's true because you end up with empathy, perspective taking, and theory of mind kind of all get jumbled together. And oftentimes, some of the articles you read, they're using all three terminologies for the same thing. And I'm like, okay, which one are you really working on here? So you're right. It seems to be something in the field that needs to be perhaps more finely tuned. Yeah, good point. Yeah.
I have a quick question.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So if I were to connect to the two talks that we heard, if one takes embodied cognition perspective, then there is a theoretical framework through which one can actually connect to the literal interpretation of perspective taking, a point of view, to the metaphorical one. I'm a physicist, and so I do not know very much about this. So would you expand a little bit on the theoretical warrant for exactly that move of actually asking, making inferences about an individual's ability to take somebody else's metaphorical perspective, or perspective metaphorically, from the actual literal, can they actually interpret, can they identify a need for the other person and therefore physically rotate something, or do they have the cognitive ability to do these rotations?
Okay, I think I understand the question that you're asking, but I may or may not quite get there, and if others I know would, might have some perspective as well. I think part of this is looking at this from a developmental standpoint that we heard Bob talk about a bit yesterday, and it's one of those things that, that children have to be able to learn. Since we are social creatures and God created us as such, we have to be able to understand the other person's perspective, because that allows us to be able to better communicate and be in relationship with others. So that's a bit about that theoretical perspective, but then also just thinking about, you know, what is religious, what is the impact of religion on this? Can this help people be able to better take people, others' perspective, because the golden rule as an impetus, you know, the sort of what would Jesus do movement from many years ago as well, and then how, as we train up our children, sort of thinking about, well, how did David feel when he killed Goliath, and, you know, things like that, that will, one would lead one, someone to believe that perhaps people who are raised in more of this context would be better able to do that than others.
Right. What I was actually trying to get at is, research suggests that there is a negative correlation between gender and ability to rotate things facially.
Right, right, right.
And so, on the other hand, you showed us that there is a positive correlation between female gender.
Right. Right. No, I know, and I actually did research in my doctoral work on visual spatial tasks.
Right.
So. I actually didn't, that was part of the composite. I actually didn't pull out that visual rotational task, you know, as, I mean, I did look at it separately, but you're right, there is a gender difference with respect to that. But I think the reason why gender popped up so much more significantly in my composite is because the empathy task, the eyes task, women tend to do much better on that. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Julie.